this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for a really interesting episode of Y'allitics. I mean, all of them are interesting, but sometimes you find just that special character and that special story to tell.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, we had a Texan who is leaving the U.S. after Trump's election. She's moving to Holland.
Yeah.
One of my friends, Bud Kennedy from the Star-Telegram, told us about Joe Rhodes and said, you think Jana has a story? Find out about Joe's story. So we have it on this podcast here, and we had to do this like really early in the morning. For you,
it's early.
Yeah, it's new
anything
for before everybody
noon
else.
Is early for me.
It's but, way early
but
for me.
Joe,
oh,
is,
good. I'm glad we're kindred
it is
spirits.
For you too?
Oh yeah.
So we're at Three Nations Brewery. We'll get into Joe's story in just a moment. Three Nations Brewery in Carrollton.
Uh-huh.
This is not too far from your place here.
It's right off of 35 in Carrollton. Huge place. You can't miss
massive.
It.
Massive.
Beautiful layout that they've got here.
And tell us about the name.
Okay, Three Nations. So it started off, 9 years ago they started this place. And they started off wanting to just stay true to those true beer, you know, the nations in Europe that are known for beer. That's where the founder went to learn, you know, beer making. And we're talking about Belgium, Germany, and the UK. And so they started with that. Well, you know, things change, things morph, they, you know, grow over time, and now they do all kinds of stuff here. But I decided to do the go time today because this is a German.
Hold on.
It's a Helles lager.
It's a German lager with bready notes.
Wow. I'm having the let's give a shout out to them first here because they got the best of. They won three best of awards.
I don't even need the notes for this. You're reading notes.
Well, they have a giant sign outside here.
Okay.
They get the best local brewery.
Yep.
Oh, do you know all this?
Yes.
All right. What are the other
also
two?
Best local beer and best local seltzer.
And the best local beer is what?
It is the Saddle Up, which you're drinking.
Which is what I'm having. And the best local seltzer is what?
It's like a knee high. Right?
A knee high. What is this, 1960?
That's
the best
what they
local
told
seltzer
me at the
is
bar.
Yeah, it's called Mystic. And we're gonna have that a little later on probably.
I love how you quiz me. I love how you quiz me with a game of gotcha and then you say it in fact the answer is
let me go back
as you're scrolling through screens.
My wife was putting the Christmas tree
good
up last
one.
Night. I'd take a picture of that. So listen, we have let's get to Joe's story here because I didn't know this existed.
Joe is Joe Rhodes, by the way.
Joe Rhodes. Let me read his your background on your Substack.
Oh, this will be good.
Column. So,
first of all, Joe, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Hazy IPA. It's their New England IPA, and I think it's called the Haze Wizard.
Hmm. And Joe is appreciating a good beer today, and we'll get into why that is here in just a moment, too. Yeah. Go ahead with
and
some background.
You're not having the larger version because you had a couple too many last
I've, time I've had a number of IPAs since I've been in town.
Okay. And, All right. Well, Joe is a retired pseudo-journalist. He says he's a full-time drifter, average height, below average intellect, so you're at the right place.
All those
we are kindred spirits.
Yeah.
But your online blog is called Unmoored. You can find it at Substack. Joe says he's a guy who can't swim, hates the sun, easily annoyed, goes on a 3.5-year cruise because what the hell? It's a big world. Might as well have a look around.
And that's shockingly accurate.
Where did you find a 3.5-year cruise to start with?
There was a lot of attention when there have been several attempts at this. And the one that got the most attention was 2-3 years ago called Life at Sea.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically, and some of the same people that are involved with this cruise were involved with that cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a fair amount of media attention, and I think I saw a story on CNN about it. And I was a little bit adrift. I've been living in a van for the last 13 years.
Huh. And oh, so one of these people who goes and goes to parks and stuff around the country and just
well, some
stays
of that.
There for
mostly,
a while.
I just fall asleep in the bar that I've been drinking in. It was great. It was before there was a hashtag. Van life did not exist when I started it. So in 2010, because I was a journalist, I was living in Los Angeles, and
sure.
The journalism business was changing, and I felt like I needed to be more flexible. And so my solution was to live in a van. Hmm. And so for the last 13 years, that's what I've done up until this. And I still love it. And in fact, one of the highlights of being back in town this week was that the friend that I've left my van with brought it over for my birthday party. It was my birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
It was a big birthday, too, by
it
the
was.
Way.
I'm 70.
Yeah,
no.
Stop
yeah.
it.
The fire was shocking. 70 candles, it has a bloom to it.
It's more of a bonfire than a cake.
Yeah, the people were frightened. Yeah. So the van, it was and is a great van. It had every, you know, had a bathroom and you know, refrigerator and you know, solar panels, and it, and I loved it and still love it. Mm-hmm. But after 13 years, there were not a lot of places that I had not gone to several times. There were not a lot of surprises waiting around the corner. And I felt like I needed to shake things up a little bit. So when I saw this CNN report, I thought, well, you know, that might be a logical next step. Mm-hmm. Instead of just driving around North America, I'll just float around the world. Which it turns out is a very different motivation than what most of these people have. Huh. Most of the people that have signed up are people that go on cruises all the time.
Hmm. Have you been on a cruise yet before this?
Only after I signed up for this, I decided, because several friends pointed out that I was an idiot because I had never been on a cruise, and that to sign up for my first cruise for it to be 3.5 years long was not a good idea.
They have a point.
No, they were right. Yeah. So last summer, I went on a 10-day cruise in Iceland and Greenland, just to see how I liked it. And I liked it fine. Huh. And I thought, yeah, I could do this. Huh. It's, you know, I don't tend to get seasick. I like, and it's a continuation of what I like most about living in the van, which is the idea that you've got your world with you, but you're in different places all the time.
Yeah.
There's something really satisfying about that. It feels safe, but at the same time, you know, you're on an adventure.
So it sounds great, like this thing has gone off without a hitch so far.
Yeah, no, there's been no problems whatsoever.
You gotta catch up on the Substack to know about the little glitches here and there.
You really should, by the way.
Well, some of their snafus, maybe. I don't use that very often, yeah, but perhaps it's apropos for this situation.
But again, it's called Unmoored on Substack. Unmoored. And
you could take that on a number of levels.
Yes, you could. But there's some phenomenal writings on there, and it really is, I mean, for, you know, somebody who's stuck in the 9-to-5 and dreams of this kind of stuff, you know, go check it out. Maybe you won't dream about it as much, or maybe you'll dream about it more, but it's you can sort of live vicariously. There have been some issues, though.
There have been some issues. We were, just to sort of get the chronology right, Life at Sea was 2 years ago and got as far as people were supposed to board, I think, last December, and then the company fell apart and people got stranded in Istanbul. But some of the people who had signed up for Life at Sea, and I was one of them, had been told by the CEO of this new company, we're not sure that this is a sound investment. We're going to give you your deposit back, and then you can decide. So I got out and didn't suffer any consequences
from
at all.
From that first cruise
From that
company.
First cruise. Okay. I never, yeah. yeah. But a lot of people put up money, and I think some of them still haven't gotten their money back. Mm. And some of them have moved on and are now a part of the Villa V cruise, which is the one that I'm currently on. So some of the people from Life at Sea splintered off and decided they thought they knew what they could do better. Mm. And in terms of capitalizing things, the last company clearly didn't have enough money in their pocket to. They never even bought a ship. Wow. They couldn't get that together.
It's hard to cruise.
Just on paper, huh? Yeah. Hard to cruise without a boat, right?
And the other innovation that these guys came up with was that they would make the passengers owners of the cruise.
You're called a resident, right?
You're called a resident. You're not a passenger. You're a resident. But you can be certain kinds of residents. You can be a founder, which is somebody that puts up a lot of money ahead of time and is basically on the board of the company. You can be an owner, which all the founders are, which means that you get your cabin and pay for it ahead of time, but you own it. You own it for 15 years or when the ship sinks. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where I'd put my money right now. And you can do with it as you will. You can sublet it.
It's like real estate.
It's just, it is. And many people, I think, bought it as a real estate investment.
So are you an owner or what are you?
I'm a renter. I'm in steerage.
Okay. You're in steerage. I like it. How expensive is this?
It's not, well, at my level, it's actually not expensive when you consider what you are supposed to be getting.
Listen to the words here very carefully because words matter. Clues. There are clues being dropped.
It basically, I rent month to month. Mm-hmm. So it's an apartment as if I had an apartment in Oak Lawn.
It's like $3,500.
And it's $3,500 a month, which is not cheap, but that's all your meals. That's the Wi-Fi, the gym, the laundry, the housekeeping, and you're waking up in a different city pretty much every day.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's a better deal than, there are obviously older people on the ship.
Yeah. That,
you know, they've got the time and the money to do it. And they some of them have done the calculation that this is cheaper than going to some sort of assisted care facility,
right?
And a lot more fun.
True. So, Joe, the name of the boat is the Odyssey.
Yes.
Via V is the, or Villa V, depends on where you are.
They don't even know how you say it.
Is the name of the company. It builds itself as the world's first residential cruise ship. You got off the boat, though. The ship is underway. The sailing is underway. Took off in May, I believe, but you hopped off.
Oh, no.
It was supposed to?
It was supposed to leave in May.
It was supposed
to
leave in May.
There's that phrase again, supposed to.
Yeah. Dropping the words here. Clues throughout the podcast.
Yeah,
we'll
little Easter
later
eggs.
On. But you got off the boat in West Africa, in Senegal, and flew back to Texas to vote?
That's exactly what I did.
In the presidential election.
I flew from Dakar to Dallas, so I'm pretty sure I get the win for who came the furthest to cast their vote.
How much, though, did the current state of politics play into your decision, the current state of this country play into your decision to just park the van and get in the boat and take off?
It was a factor. It wasn't an overwhelming factor. Remember, I made this decision a couple of years ago. But even then, it was something that everybody was talking about. It seemed fairly obvious that Trump was going to be the nominee, and therefore there was a chance he might win the election. And maybe you wouldn't want to be here for a couple of years, depending on if he wins and what chaos he might bring upon us.
Is that why you left, though?
It wasn't why I left.
Looking back, though, are you glad you did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hmm. And the thing I noticed, because I was gone all summer, although I'm not moving around.
Yeah.
waiting. But the election from a distance was a lot less stressful. Hmm. And I felt like I had a little bit more objectivity about it, because most of the events that mattered, the assassination attempts, Biden's withdrawal, all of that stuff that, you know, was incredibly dramatic. Most of the big things happened overnight for us. Hmm. So we're reading the second day stories. Mm-hmm. And it's more like you're reading history, even though it's only 24-hour history, than living it in the moment. And I kind of like that part of it.
That's interesting. That's almost like you were not even in the last century, but the one before that, and the way that you were consuming news about what was going on. And that changes how you process and think about things. So from afar, what did you see as the stakes in this election?
Oh, well, I had no question about the stakes. You know, I'm an unapologetic progressive. I'm liberal, democratic, whatever label you choose to use. That's mm-hmm. who I am. So I thought that the stakes were existential.
Can you put that in context in your 70 years?
I think the threat of the system failing if Donald Trump was and now has been elected was greater than at any time in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the choices. There have been a lot of presidents that I worried about, but none that I thought were going to just take the whole thing apart. Mm-hmm. And I think there's,
you mean democracy?
Democracy, yeah. They'd just blow it all up. And I believe that he'd be perfectly happy to do that. And I worry about the effects on future elections, on voting rights. And I worry about the effects on the world. You know, there's a lot of people going to die in Ukraine. because he's in charge. There's a lot of people that are going to die trying to get across the border or not being able to even come because he's in charge. It's going to be bad, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be horrific economically. Mm. You know, the idea that you can put tariffs on everything and you know, deport migrant workers, it's going to be a disaster. And I believe that the people that voted for him thinking, well, you know, we're sick of this inflation, and we think Biden did that to us. I feel like in a couple of years, they're going to regret that. Mm.
When are you coming back again? You're going to wait 3 years before you come back to see how things unfold here or what?
Theoretically, it depends, as with everything on this cruise, it depends on a number of factors.
So you're more concerned about the cruise than you are the state of politics at home here.
My ability to come and go will be impacted by the cruise more directly, yeah. I'm not yet on any no-fly list, so I'm okay. But the cruise is supposed to come to the U.S. next summer. But we're not currently certified to dock in the U.S.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
But cruise aside, do you plan to come back?
I don't know. I mean, I could see either option. It's I thought about it a lot when I was in Ireland. I spent most of the summer in Ireland, and I really liked it there. Hmm. And I'm sure there will be places that we go that I will be taking a look at is like, you know, could I live here if mm-hmm. it comes to that?
I say that wherever I go.
Yeah, I always think that.
I'm thinking right now, could I live here at Three Nations? Possibly so.
Why, yes, I could.
They have a sofa over here in the back.
You know, I'm curious too, just, you know, because of your politics and the way you feel about this election in particular, is there a little bit of relief that you are sort of buffered? You know, on any given day, you might be thousands of miles out at sea somewhere, and you're nowhere near this. Obviously, you're keeping up with what's going on here, you know, a day or two after the fact. But is it a good feeling that you're not bombarded with this on TV and in the grocery store with people talking and that
yes.
sort of thing?
I think it's incredibly helpful not to just be in the middle of it all the time. Because the first Trump administration, I just felt like I needed to get under the covers on a daily basis. I don't think I'll have to spend as much time under the covers because I'm a selfish person like everybody else, and it won't be affecting me directly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the visceral fear and revulsion will be reduced because my day is less impacted. Mm-hmm. And I think it will help me be able to process it and to hopefully have a better sense of where to go once it's done. Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of folks on this ship, the Odyssey, with you, but how many other Americans are on there? And do y'all ever talk about this?
We don't talk about it much, which I think is really interesting. We talk about it a little bit.
And maybe healthy.
Yeah, I think it is healthy. Everybody has done a pretty good job, because politics is clearly so volatile now.
And not just here.
Right, everywhere. Yeah, but particularly here.
Yeah.
And there are some Trump advocates.
What do they say?
Mostly get away from me.
You already have a reputation in that way. Then.
Yeah, they already.
It's a smaller ship, though. Where are you going to go? There aren't a lot of places to go, right?
You know, it's a big enough ship. You don't have to eat dinner with them. You know, it's like it's high school, basically. Uh-huh. And so you could pick your table whether you want to sit with the jocks or the nerds.
Who are you sitting with?
I'm sitting with the nerds. and so we don't, but I think everybody, and I applaud, you don't see anybody walking around with a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Even though I know there are people there that have them, but they don't make that their first step mm-hmm. into the door. Mm-hmm. And because it's a small ship and an enclosed place, and where things go wrong on a regular basis, I think it's been wise that we haven't talked about it a lot. I think, you know, I don't think anybody's hiding their preferences, but it's not the first thing they talk about. It's not what we're hanging out in the bar. That's not what we're talking about.
And there's a new city each day. There are new things in front of you every day. And it's not CNN or Fox News or MSNBC.
Right. Now, some people, and also that's the other thing, that the TV hasn't worked. So that's been helpful.
That helps.
Lucky man, how do I sign up, right? We'll make sure they get a copy of this podcast, though.
it's just less. There's other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. You it's just not your first concern. Your first concern is I wonder if there'll be water today.
It's interesting how survival, just sure. survival, does sort right. of leap to the front.
It's
there.
Like everybody helps out after a tornado.
Yeah.
Well, do you consume news at all on there? I mean, how do you do that?
How do you get
do you get it? And you know, do people discuss it at dinner, at the bar, stuff like that? Or are you talking about where you just been?
It gets discussed a little bit, like when something specific happens, like, you know, Biden withdrawing or people taking a shot at Trump. But in a bigger sense, there were not a lot of in-depth, overarching conversations about, you know, the direction the nation should take. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of that, even though there are some people on board who were high-ranking Republican operatives.
Mm-hmm. Why are they on board then? I mean, this is a great time for them.
It probably would be a good time, but they're old school Republican operatives. They're probably in more jeopardy than I am. so we talk about it a little bit less than you think, and my consumption is all online. Is you know, I subscriptions to all the elite media. Your New York Times, your Washington Post,
New York Post,
exactly.
The elite ones, only the elite ones.
The Dallas Morning News.
Of course, you have to have Wi-Fi for that,
and we do.
Okay,
I mean the Wi-Fi has been one of the things that had actually, for me anyway, has not been an issue.
Oh wow!
But for there are people that have taken that are on the cruise who are digital workers.
Yeah,
are
they really?
That are running small businesses.
So they're living life like normal, but on a ship.
So obviously for them, having a Wi-Fi and internet that works at a fairly high level was critical. They wouldn't have signed on if they weren't assured that that would happen.
Wow.
And I guess those jobs.
Yeah.
I guess it's been a little spotty in terms of the people that need a whole lot of bandwidth.
Right.
We've got the Starlink. You know, we're tethered to Elon Musk.
You are.
And I'm pretty sure that if need be, we can be called in to operate drones in battle areas.
I'm curious. So, you know, as you're floating around out there, does it change your perspective? You know, I mean, as you mentioned, in the first Trump administration, you were glued to the TV. You were watching every development as it was happening in real time and getting stressed and sick about it. Does it change your perspective on a lot of these issues and these policies and the fights that we have and the polarization when you are out there and you see the world and you see great things, beautiful things, and you see real struggles too, or places in history where there have been real struggles? I mean, you were just...
I was in Belfast.
Exactly.
Recent there struggles.
Been some struggles there. Also, the island off of Africa,
Gorey Island, was the slave port.
Yeah, so I imagine that affects your perspective.
Oh, sure it does. But it also reminds you that the struggles are kind of everywhere. The characters change and the specific issues change, but the larger battle of who are we as a people, what do we want, how welcoming do we want to be to outsiders? That stuff's going on everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was certainly going on in the UK this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, and there
Germany,
and Germany,
another big one, France.
But even in Africa, I mean, we were just in Senegal, and you know, it tends to be a little bit more dramatic there. But you know, part of the last election in Senegal was, are we going to welcome people from this particular tribe who we've considered not to be part of our nation? Mm. Some people want them back, some people don't. Mm. You know,
you could apply that to the U.S. today, you know.
It's absolutely
true. Just change the names and the
Speaking
characters.
Speaking of tribalism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest issue in the world has been for, I think, decades, is tribalism.
Sure. Mm.
We all are drawn to tribes, and then it depends on how we define them and what we think is important to keep their integrity, and what will we do for that.
There's still a huge Dallas Cowboys tribe, too.
There's that, yeah.
I don't know if it's huge anymore. Well, yeah.
It is the same thing.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Absolutely. It's, you pick a color, pick a team, it's the same thing. Let me go back here to the actual boat here. How do you prepare for this? You mentioned you know,
lived in a van, but yeah. but how do you prepare for this?
Well, it was easier for me than almost anybody else, because a lot of people had, you know, sold their houses and had to, you know, either get rid of or store their many belongings.
Sure.
I didn't have any of that. You know, I was able to take what I wanted, put it in a big suitcase, and ship it over. And actually, I've got more room now than I did before.
That is
so
a good reason.
You leveled up then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This would, I guarantee I had less transitioning to do
really
than anybody else on board. My life is essentially the same. All that's changed is the mode of transportation.
Nice. Well, you said something in the... Jason and I both like to travel. He won't travel with me, so I have to go by myself.
God, no.
You said something that kind of resonated with me that, you know, I'm not putting words in your mouth here, but something like, you know, all these European cities are the same. All the churches are the same. All the museums are the same. But you really enjoyed the music venues and the music at these different stops. Has that been the highlight for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, the perfect night is to wander into a music venue, whether it's a bar or a theater or something, and find some local act that I'd never heard of before that just blows me away, preferably while drinking beer. and that's what I seek. You know, I was at Nate's Seafood in Addison last night, where they have a Sunday night blues jam every week.
Yeah.
And it's great musicianship, but it feels like a local, you know, organic thing. And I said to the people I was with, this is what I'm looking for.
When I'm in Addison. You don't have to go anywhere. And you can stay
right down the street.
I've clearly miscalculated.
And we should point out that these stops are helpful for you because you are a connoisseur of good beer, and you're not really finding that so much on the ship.
There have been a number of disappointments. In terms of what's been available on board.
You talking about the beer? Or?
I said a number. Yeah. The beer would be one of those numbers. There are rumors, because there are always rumors. That's the thing. It's a small town, so it's a blaze with rumors at all times.
So all the rules still apply.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's a blaze all the time.
Oh, it's nothing. It's a gossip fest.
That is very... Essentially, it's a town, or it's been a town, when you've been on it, of you know, a little bit more than 100 people.
Yeah.
It's growing as you stop at different places.
But it's still only
going to
be 300-400. It's still a very small town.
Yeah. That is a high school. I mean, that's
almost
smaller.
Small towns are almost messier because everybody knows everybody's business.
Yeah. You know, and there are some single people on board, and this is a discussion we've had more than the political discussion is, you don't want to get involved with somebody here because if you break up,
you're stuck. You're going to see them every
day. You're stuck
every
day. Yeah. You're stuck at sea, my friend.
Yeah. It's even worse.
So that seems more important to them than the fate of democracy.
So that's or your complaints about beer.
Or my complaints about beer. They have terrible beer on offer. Here are the beer selections that, to choose from. Corona, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Bud Light, and zero alcohol Heineken.
You're on this worldly ship that's going all the way around the globe. Those are your choices.
Are you serious? That's it.
And
you drank them dry of the Maggie's Leap IPA, right?
Well, not them. That was when I was in Belfast.
Oh, that was in Belfast.
No,
okay.
I wish I could get Maggie's Leap IPA on the ship.
We'll see if we can get Three Nations. Yeah, we'll see if we can get Three Nations on there.
Right.
We'll connect Three Nations to...
Nothing would please me more.
I'm curious, you know, so we've talked about politics. What has this taught you about life?
Oh, nothing.
Anything? Nothing?
No, I have no wisdom of any sort. I'm as dumb as I was.
You don't think this has changed you in any way?
Come on, man.
You don't think this has made you think a different way just about the way we live?
I was already cognizant of some of that just by virtue of living in the van.
Yeah, true.
That by not having a ties to a particular building, not having a lot of stuff, and the freedom to really go where I wanted when I felt like, and that seemed like a really tremendous gift to me, and still does.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it's an important thing to me. I don't think I could ever buy a house and live there for a decade or more.
It sounds like you're all about like breaking the mold and doing things your way, and you know, you and Trump have some things in common.
We do, and believe it or not, I've said this to some people. I said, that you know, my fear is that he is as bad a president as I would be.
That is very honest.
Because I do things without knowing what I'm talking about.
So you think you might be equally terrible in a different way?
Yes, I believe we would make some different choices. Yeah, but in terms of my qualifications for the job, we're about the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
After what you said about him, that's a stunning admission.
I've got a lot of issues. Hmm.
Yeah. Are there other Texans on board this ship besides
there
you?
There are.
Are there? From where?
There's a couple from Houston, and I want to say there's a couple from San Antonio.
Yeah.
The breakdown of Americans are about 60% of, maybe a little more than that.
Wow.
Of the.
I didn't think it would be that much.
No, there's a fair chunk of Australians. Mm. There's a lot of Canadians. From the Americans, there's a lot of people from Florida.
Mm. Yeah. Really?
And you know, if you're in certain tables in the cafeteria, yeah. You might as well be in the Villages.
What has been the reaction from your friends and family for this?
They're not surprised.
No.
When I told them about it, I said, you know, I've done a lot of stupid stuff, and this may be the dumbest thing I've ever done. And they went, no, it's not.
We've got a list.
I don't think anyone's shocked. I think some people question, and probably still question, whether I'll make the whole 3.5 years.
That's one of my questions. Are you going to stay out there the entire time?
It depends.
What does it depend on?
Depends if things go smoothly, which they haven't.
Well,
so
they
far.
Haven't. So yeah.
Yeah, but let's say they get their act together in a way that there's less sort of daily mini crises. I think I probably would stay the whole 3.5 years. Mm. However, if it's as disruptive as it was for the first month, I would probably try and find a way off.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. I'm going back kind of to test them. To see now that they've got more people on board, you know, will they step up their game, or will the extra people put more stress on their systems and things will break more often? They're going to open up. There's only been limited restaurants and bars open because there were only 125
people.
Okay,
sure.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to open up the rest of it. You know, for the longest time they didn't have any pools. The pools weren't open. Which was fine because we were in Northern Europe and it didn't really matter much anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, and that's not important for me because, as we've mentioned, I can't swim.
You're on a cruise and you can't swim.
That's
not good.
But for other people, it's really important. You know, that's their view of what life on a cruise ship is, that you're hanging out by the pool every day.
Yeah, give me that pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me be out in the sun.
So the fact that was not operational in a timely fashion was a big, big deal for some people.
Let's say that this thing finishes its journey and, mm-hmm. and does the full 3.5 years and you're on it for all of that time. What do you think you come back to at the end?
That's here.
If you come back home.
I don't know. And I don't think any of us know. And I think, you know, people will ask, you know,
Trump likes that though. He likes being unpredictable.
Oh, sure he
that
does.
Way.
Yeah. And I like it too a little bit. There you go.
Another similarity.
But I think people that other passengers have said this, that, you know, a lot of their friends ask them, well, what are you going to do when it's over? What are you going to do in 3.5 years? I don't know. Where are you going to be in 3.5 years?
Does any of us really know?
No. You don't know what the world's going to look like. You're not going to know what your attitude's like. You know, I could break a hip and, you know, have to go to rehab. I don't know what my life will be like in 3.5 years. Nor do most people.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I wanted to go ahead and get on this one, even though I knew there would be bumps just because nobody's done it before, was that I just turned 70. Do I wait around another 4 or 5 years? Mm. You know, maybe when I'm 73 or 4 or 5, I don't feel physically up to it. Mm. I better go while I can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I signed up, was like, I haven't got another thing that I'm anxious to do. This could be really interesting. Hmm. And let's see what happens. Hmm.
Did you have a passport prior to this?
Yes, I did.
So tell us, 3.5 years is more than like the 7 to 10 day cruises that I've been on. Mm-hmm. But where have you been so far? And what are your favorite places?
Well, we you know, we spent a great deal of time in Belfast, Northern Ireland, because we, you know, we were supposed to leave in May. I left Dallas last May. And knew that at that point the cruise had already been delayed by a couple of weeks. So I knew that before I left.
You're like, any day now, it's going to.
And well, yeah. it was. It seemed like an ordinary thing. You know, cruise ships have to redirect, and so instead of leaving from Southampton, England, on May 15th, they said, no, we're going to leave from Belfast on May 30th. Great. So I'd already bought the ticket to fly to England, so I spent a couple of weeks going around Scotland and Wales. And,
that's nice.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. It was great. And then got to Belfast on time to board the ship, and they weren't quite ready. And it turns out they also weren't ready the next week or the week after that. We were in Belfast for 4.5 months.
Jeez, oh my gosh.
But you've been to other places since then. So.
I have. So we finally left September 30th, although the first 3 days after we officially left Belfast, we apparently weren't certified to go anywhere else.
You had to stay at sea.
So we anchored 10 miles off of the Northern Ireland coast for the first 3 days.
And then
we, because they were not, I think, confident in the engines yet, we did sort of puddle jumps. We stopped at Brest, France, but weren't allowed to get off because they'd not been able to schedule the port in time. So we were at a cargo port, and there was no way for us to get off the boat.
So you just, like, looked over at the shore?
Waved at the factory.
For how many days?
Just a day.
Are these Substack posts going to become a book?
If I'm not imprisoned, possibly.
But where, besides Brest, France, where else did you go? You went to Germany.
We did not go to Germany. We were supposed to go to Germany. There's a lot of supposed tos. You know, we were supposed to stop a million places.
Yeah. That phrase again, supposed to.
But we stopped. We stopped in Portugal. Huh. We had a couple stops in Portugal.
Nice.
A couple stops in Spain, and then the Mediterranean. We looped in and out of through the Straits of Gibraltar, spent some time in Gibraltar, spent some time in Morocco, in Tangier and Casablanca.
Nice.
Went to a place that I had never heard of called Ceuta.
Oh, Wheeler's heard of that. Go ahead, tell us about Wheeler.
Not heard of that, actually.
Give us the Wikipedia version
of
it. I've never heard of it.
Ceuta?
Ceuta. C-E-U-T-A.
Oh, Ceuta.
Oh, yeah, go ahead,
Wheeler. No, I've never heard of it.
It's a Spanish enclave.
Really?
Much like Gibraltar is for the UK, which is, it's officially the UK, but it's in Spain physically.
They never gave it back, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, they've been arguing about it for centuries. Ceuta is a Spanish enclave in Morocco.
In Morocco?
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
In the Mediterranean coast or on the Atlantic coast?
On the Mediterranean coast.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And they've got a fence, not a wall.
So what's your favorite place so far, Joe?
We went to the Blue Village in Morocco, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. I think Chekhawan.
And neither of us will ever know that you butchered it.
Yeah, I should have just bluffed my way through.
Yeah, you should have. We wouldn't have known.
Which is a place that you've seen in a million movies. Hmm. And it's famous. It's built into a hillside, and everything has got this blue glaze on it.
Wow.
And these ornate doors and alleyways that sort of, it's a long blue strip that kind of disappears in the distance. It's really cool and kind of magical. It wasn't good for me because it was a lot of climbing and I just had COVID.
COVID on the boat.
Yeah, so mostly I just sweated while I was here.
Jeez, that sounds miserable but beautiful. And now you're going to rejoin the ship in Martinique in the Caribbean.
Where they are now. They got there today. They will still be there tomorrow. I fly to Miami tonight and then I'll overnight there and then fly to Martinique tomorrow.
And then onward to the Panama Canal, maybe?
Eventually, well, that's the plan. Right away. I don't think that's supposed to happen until sometime in December. They're going to circle around a lot of Caribbean locations, mostly to begin with the Antilles, Guadeloupe, and St. Kitts and St. Martin. And
sounds like a very good life.
Unless you don't like hot weather or the sun.
It can be terrible.
Other than that, it's great, yeah.
And so...
So my plan is to not leave the ship until after sunset.
Yeah, so because you're not into those things. Why did you think it was so important to get back here to cast a vote in the middle of all this? I mean, they had finally just gotten it together and started moving along, and you had to leave them to go do this.
Partly it was because I didn't trust the state of Texas to process a mail-in vote from overseas.
Wow. So you flew from Africa to do it yourself.
Yeah, goodness. I wasn't sure they were up to the job. Hmm. And it felt like a really important election, and I kind of wanted to be here for it. I wanted, however it went, I wanted to be with friends and in a familiar place. And then because my birthday was coming up right after, you know,
there's that too. That
there was I could justify it on a number of levels.
Yeah.
But it felt like I would regret it if I weren't here and if I didn't manage to get a vote in. I did not want to be one of those people that, you know, didn't have a voice.
When you saw the result, though, did you think, I should have just stayed on the ship?
No. Absolutely not. Because I would hate myself.
And others on the ship, the other Americans, did they do this?
I don't know that anybody else flew specifically to cast an in-person vote. Mm. Many people voted, most of them from other states where it was much easier to do.
Well, good for you all for still, you know, making your voices count whichever direction that you're voting, even though you're, you know, a world away.
Yeah. No, it matters. I mean, we're still Americans. Mm-hmm.
Joe, last question from me is, what do you miss most about Texas when you're out there on the high seas and different countries, different continents?
Food and music.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm.
The food. What kind of food?
Barbecue, Tex-Mex, all the things that make Texas great. You know, all my complaints about Texas are sort of dwarfed by how much I love the culture. Mm. The politics frustrates me greatly. And I'm not a big fan of the weather either. But it's a place that knows itself and where you know, I tell people all the time when they ask where I'm from, I just say I'm from Texas. Mm. And that... They know what that means, and they don't have any further questions.
Well, Joe,
well
cheers
done.
To
yeah.
you, and here's to bon voyage.
Thank Hope you very
much.
Moving
yeah. and cheers, man. That's
we'll have to check in somewhere else on the route.
All right, yeah. Watch the wires.
Maybe we join you on the route. We can work remotely for a while.
We very well may.
Maybe a couple months.
That sounds like a nice life.
You might want to join for the Hawaii part.
I could go along with that, or the Caribbean.
Or Singapore.
I'll even go to the cold North Atlantic, you know. Anywhere sounds really nice for an extended period when you're still working every day, you know?
Joe Rhodes, tell people how they can find your Substack, Unmoored, your online blog. You don't do it all the time, but every often.
No, every couple of weeks when
you're drop something great.
Yeah.
And they I'm going to language warning on these posts, but they can find it at Substack.com.
Substack.traipsathon.com. But if they just type Substack, Unmoored, or my name, they'll be able to find it.
So UNMOORED.
Yes.
You're checking that spelling in your
head. We both were because I think you left an O out.
No, I didn't.
Nevertheless.
Let's play that back. It was two O's in there.
There were two O's. It was a pause.
We'll make sure Wheeler gets home safely.
It was the cadence.
Thanks so much for watching, guys. Joe, cheers to you, man. We really appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you.
You're about to hop a flight, so we'll let you run.
Yeah, and a big thanks again to Three Nations Brewing here in Carrollton.
Yeah, this is great.
A wonderful place, and I'm glad that you got a proper beer.
Me too. Thanks a lot.
Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV and watch the latest episode of Y'allitics,